person who likes it.
Oh, we could do it this way.
I've seen anything. Are we on the air?
Did I change all of the top?
I'd like to go ahead and call a meeting to order the House Transportation Committee for Thursday, the 25th of April, 2002. It's 1:40 p.m. With us, we have Representative Skoukas, Maslick, and Wilson. I'm the Chair Coring. And we have just one bill before us. Hopefully, we'll be able to do this in fairly short order, but it's certainly the role of the committee as far as whether they deem it's they're at a high enough comfort level to move it out today. But it's House Bill 500. It's the bill that we had a brief overview on Tuesday's meeting, and it's the Advanced Acquisition of Real Property legislation. And instead of me stumbling through explaining the bill, I'll have my able Transportation Committee aide Mike Krieger address the committee here and explain the legislation and answer any questions. So with that, why don't you go ahead, Mike. This is my bill. Uh-oh. Catch off guard there, Mike.
I had to wait for Dennis to get here to listen to me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, my name is Mike Krieger, House Transportation Committee aide and aide Representative Coring. The other day we heard me talk about this bill, and we also had testimony from the Department of Transportation and Alaska Railroad. This bill, House Bill 500, is for the advanced acquisition of right-of-way through eminent domain for public utilities, for DOT, the Railroad Alaska Housing, and for DOT also for public facilities. It still requires that all eminent domain cases obviously need to be heard through the court process, whether through a master or through a judge. This does not provide any declaration of takings authority for any of the entities. The only change that this does is it provides for advance acquisition, further in advance than what is typically viewed as authority under eminent domain. There are at least eight other states that have this authority. We looked at this bill closely in the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. We made some changes to the original bill, which provided a hold harmless clause for the property owners whose property would be taken under eminent domain if DOT or the other entities would not use the property within a 20-year period for the stated purpose. Then they would have to provide the opportunity, or when it would go on the market before that period, the opportunity for the original property owner to purchase it back at the original price that the public entity had acquired it. What that was two benefits to that. One is that the prevents any of the entities from land speculation, and secondly, it provides some sense of compensation to the property owner for the lost opportunity of developing that property. And they would be able to enjoy the benefits of the market value of that property in the future. Unless there are any particular questions, I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, all right. Kukesh.
I'll just follow up. I can't remember if we discussed that. If it went back to right of first refusal, the heirs had the right to be right.
Yes, it is, or its successors.
I'll note for the record, Representative Scalzi has joined us. Thank you, Drew. I know you have a previous commitment on finance, so I appreciate your effort in trying to go through the process as quick as you can here. We do actually have, this is not a committee substitute bill here, so we just have the bill before us. So we do have an amendment from Representative Maslick, and I'd like to turn it over to her to explain that amendment. Would you care to move that amendment, Representative Maslick?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Any objection to?
Any objections to ask what it is?
Okay. Representative Maslick, would you please explain the
amendment? Yes. Mr. Chairman, this amendment clarifies which entities have the power of eminent domain. And this amendment would make pipeline carriers and public utilities equal in respect to their ability to carry out eminent domain and the acquisition of properties for the public good. oversight of the pipeline carriers is done by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, that's RCA, and a judge would still have to make a decision whether or not the acquisition of the property was in the public's best interest, and that would be in each specific case. And with the prospect of a large natural gas pipeline running from the North Slope through the state, and with the increased interest in natural gas extractions by small independent companies around the state, I feel that this amendment is in the best interest of the state and the public. Having said that, I would ask unanimous consent for this amendment.
Do you have a question from Representative Kukesh? Albert?
Thank you. The power of eminent domain, I think, resides within the powers of the state, doesn't it? What if, for example, that pipeline was built by a private company? How can we give a private company the powers of eminent domain?
Mike, how would you answer that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kukesh, if you take a look at the bill, there's already the authority under AS09 for all various types of utilities, whether they're privately owned public utilities or publicly owned public utilities.
I appreciate that, but she's speaking specifically to the pipeline, and I'm asking that question because there's discussion within the state right now. Either the state going to build and own it, or is it a private company that's going to build and own it? Yeah, I just want that question. I think it's a legitimate question.
And, Mr. Chairman, I can answer that question. I was just setting the background on that. Under AS09, item number 12 says, for the location of pipelines for gathering, transmitting, etc., natural or artificial gas or any oil or liquid, etc. So under AS09, eminent domain, which sets forth authority for various utilities, whether they're privately or publicly owned, and for pipelines, as well as for municipalities and so forth. That's where eminent domain is identified for the purposes. AS 4205 is for public utilities to have eminent domain. They're regulated by the RCA. If you take a look at 4206 and 4205, 4206 is Pipeline Act. 4205 is Utility Act. They're both regulated by the same entity. You have this, basically the mirror requirements of the Certificate of Public Convenience and Need for utilities and for pipelines. So what this amendment does is it puts into place the specific authority, because under utilities, you have specific authority to have eminent domain, and that's one of the sections in the bill here of 4205. So that would be section 11 in the bill on page 6. The existing eminent domain authority for public utilities is the wording that's not underlined. We have modified 4205 for public utilities to include, where it says including present public utility uses or advanced acquisition. We've given explicit authority for public utilities for advanced acquisition along with that 20-year paragraph. And so what this amendment does is identical wording as section 10 and 11 for pipelines.
Although,
Representative Scalzi?
This question, although a public utility, my understanding in relationship to government has been given that authority by the municipality or state.
Through the chair, Representative Scalzi, a public utility can also include privately owned utilities, meaning they're given in a sense an authorization for a monopoly in exchange for regulation by the RCA to set rates, to set terms of service, you know, conditions of service, and they such as NSTAR. NSTAR is not a municipal franchise; it's a public utility, just the same as Homer Electric.
But we're only speaking of right of ways. In terms of public utilities.
Correct. And eminent domain authority is given to utilities.
Right-of-way easements.
No, that's through the chair, Representative Scalzi. That's a separate section of law. Through right-of-ways, they have that authority to be used in right-of-ways. But in Section 10 of the bill, you can see the wording under 4205.631 for utilities. The wording that's not underlined is existing law.
For public utility uses.
Mm-hmm.
For public utility uses are in the corridors and in the right-of-ways.
And this bill is for advanced acquisition of right-of-way through eminent domain. So it's cart and horse issue, I think, here.
Mr. Chair, it may be, I guess, Mike, but when it says eminent domain for pipeline purposes, that may be outside of corridors or right-of-ways. And I mean, it's not clear enough to me.
Through the chair, Representative Scalzi, the act of eminent domain is to condemn private property for public use, to create the public use easement or right-of-way. So if the right-of-way already exists, then eminent domain doesn't come into play.
Correct.
So under AS 09 and under AS 4205, you have eminent domain authority provided to utilities in order to condemn property to install their facilities.
Through the chair, so specifically this, I hope what you're saying is that this language here is mirrored on what we do now with public utilities.
Correct, plus with the modifications that we are looking at in this bill for the future use.
What modifications are those?
Okay, under Section 10 of the current bill,
yeah,
you have the underlying wording. That's the new language we're adding to public utility authority for advanced acquisition. That's the intent of this bill, is advanced acquisition through eminent domain.
Okay. And this probably should be to the sponsor of the amendment, Representative Masick. Where did this request come from?
Representative Coring is the sponsor of the bill.
Okay, and the amendment too?
And the amendment came from me specifically.
Okay, and I guess what prompted the amendment? Because we just had this in CRNA the other day, and we didn't have this. So I'm just curious as to why it didn't come up and where it
because
came from.
This was not included in the CRA version, so I said I would work on it here in Transportation Committee.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering why it didn't make it in the initial bill.
Would you have an answer to that, Mike? Can you help me with that?
Through the chair, when we drafted the original bill, the drafter went through all the statutes and pulled out where eminent domain came up, where it appeared in existing statute. And unfortunately, I didn't catch it at the time, and I really apologize for that, since I used to work at the Utilities Commission and Pipeline Commission. I did not click that eminent domain was not specified under the Pipeline Act.
Okay.
And basically, if you take a look at 4205 and 4206, they're almost mirror images of one another, except the eminent domain was not included. When the Pipeline Act was done back in the 70s, I have no idea why or why not that may have been included or excluded.
Okay. This was an oversight then?
It did not pop up in the original drafter's review of it, you know, of the existing statutes to make the modifications. He, you know, did a basis check every place that eminent domain came up. You know, he put in the language, and that's why, you know, we weren't aware that Alaska Housing had eminent domain authority.
Okay.
For instance. But it popped up, you know, when he did the database search.
Okay.
But it did not pop up under pipelines.
Okay.
Of course, our hope in having this amendment is, I assume, that it would help to get a pipeline built if we decide to go down that route with whatever legislation we have, with
yep.
the one that was heard in oil and gas. So you're not in oil and gas.
Whether it be state-owned or a privately owned
or
facility.
Or whatever is a project or whatever.
But it would still have to be an entity certificated by the, I keep calling Public Utilities Commission, by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and they have to make the finding to issue a certificate of public convenience and need. It has to go through the full-blown process. It's not just any company, privately financed company, can come forward and do this. No, they have to be certificated by the Public Utilities Commission, who have to make legal findings of fitness, willingness, and ability, and public interest.
Thank you.
It's our benefit as a committee to have Mike, having been a previous employee of the Utilities Commission, to have this knowledge. So That helps. Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question for Representative Massey. So did you just realize that that was left out, or did somebody with the pipeline come to you? But you came to her. Okay, gotcha. So this is, nobody, no one is against this. Who would be?
Who would be against this amendment? You know, I don't know. I haven't had anybody come to me. Of course, it was just an amendment that Mike brought to my attention just literally minutes ago before we had our meeting here. So
sounds like it was just missed.
Okay. I just kind of like to know both sides.
Yeah, yeah, really. I would ask, however, if there's anybody online to testify. Apparently there isn't anybody in person here. And I might also ask Dennis Bouchard from DOT what his thoughts are on this amendment, too, before we actually adopt it. Do you have any thoughts on it, Dennis? I know you're not a pipeline authority, but...
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Dennis Bouchard. I'm with the Department of Transportation. This particular amendment really doesn't affect anything we do. I don't have any comments on this amendment.
Right. I understand that. Okay. Any further questions, any further concerns about the amendment at this point?
For the record, I just want to make sure that I state for the record that if the powers of eminent domain is transferred within the confines of the Alaska statutes and laws, I'm comfortable. But I just want to get down the road and find out that somebody who doesn't have that authority, that we didn't even have the authority to give it to them.
Right, right.
That's all. And I'll withdraw my objection.
Okay. Thank you very much. If there's no objections to the amendment, has passed, as noted by Representative Masick, as she described it. And with that, we have the full legislation before us. And I had previously misstated by saying that there was not a committee substitute, but it is, in fact, a committee substitute for House Bill 500 CNRA version. Is it J1, Mike?
That's the amendment. Version J is the CS.
Version J, okay, thank you.
And Dennis Bouchard would like to testify.
All right. Dennis, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, my name is Dennis Bouchard. I'm with Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I addressed the committee about this bill on Tuesday and brought up some of the concerns that we had. And I certainly listened to the committee and heard your message loud and clear that I think you wanted us to take into account the concerns of the private property owners and to give them every benefit of the doubt. We talked about it and came up with some language that we thought might strike a little bit more of a balance between the state and the private property owner in terms of who receives the benefit from the increase in value of the property. I think our concern and the railroad's concern that Wendy Linscoop mentioned was sometimes the fact that the property increases in value is one of the mitigating factors in us taking on a big project that may or may not ultimately go. And if we take on that big project and ultimately decide not to do it or that we need less property than we actually acquired, I think I agree wholeheartedly with the committee's concerns that the property owner should have the right to acquire the property. And we did take some offense to the property owner receiving all of the benefit. In essence, the state then would be losing money because the value of the property, all of the benefit would go to the property owner, and they would be able to invest the fair market value money that we paid them, receive the interest on that, and also receive the full benefit of the increase in property value. So what we came up with, and I'm just throwing this out to the committee as an idea of the kind of thing that you might consider, is changing the wording to be the lesser of the fair market value of the land at the time of the reconveyance, or the amount paid when the property was acquired, plus simple interest at the rate of 2.5% per year. And what that would do is, if the original property owner purchased it back, say, 10 years down the road, they could purchase it for the original price of the property plus 2.5% interest, so that they're not, you know, the state does retain some benefit and then could reinvest those funds into other projects. or fair market value if they believe that the land has not increased in value much over that time. We could certainly work with the property owner or the previous property owner. Or we could do an appraisal to find out what the fair market value is, and they could make an offer to purchase it for that price. We thought that might come closer to striking some balance between the committee's concerns of trying to give the benefit to the property owners, particularly in eminent domain situations, but then also trying to protect some of the state's interest in investing in these properties.
Thank you, Dennis. Representative Kukesh.
I'm not going to move this unless I've reported, for the simple reason that when you take something by eminent domain, you take it against the wishes of the owner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take it with their blessing. So that if the state does not realize the appreciation of the property, then whose fault is it? So what? I mean, that individual who owned that property may have been able to invest it for a higher amount in the market, right. May have been able to build condominiums on, may have been able to do something more than just let it sit for 20 years.
Right.
And I really think that if you take property that is against the wishes of the owner, then nobody should benefit from it,
right.
Except maybe the owner when he gets
right.
it back, and maybe it appreciates in value, but so what?
Right.
I think that if it's a different scenario, if the individual had sold that property to the state, had gotten his own appraisal,
mm-hmm.
and had decided there was a fair market value, and he had to get it back later,
mm-hmm.
but then he did it under free will.
Right.
Eminent domain does not give you any choice. You take it from an individual. You don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not worried about a benefit that accrues later,
right.
because this guy may have been able to do something with it.
Exactly. Ms. Scalzi.
Okay. I guess I just don't get the concern. Is your concern about the eminent domain itself?
My concern is about the state wanting to benefit from this property 20 years down the road when they have to sell it back to this individual.
They sell it back at the old price, I believe.
Yeah, and they do. Yeah. But we also have to give. They also have to pay an interest to the state.
Oh, this is a new addition.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. That's what you're speaking.
I'm saying the state condemns at their peril.
Right.
State condemns at their peril if and the individual is getting his property taken away from him against his will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
I got you.
In your proposed amendment here, Dennis, if I may, excuse me, gentlemen, would there be a choice that the property owner, or I mean that the person that that chooses to reacquire his former property would be able to elect to do, and one would be either the original value plus 2.5% per year or the current fair market value as would be established by a fee appraiser then?
That's lesser here.
It would be the lesser, Mr. Chairman. The
lesser
property
two,
owner would pay the lesser.
Lesser
so
two,
if
yeah. Okay.
I mean, if the property actually decreases in value,
right.
we're not going to make them pay
right.
a higher amount than we purchased the property for to begin with. If the property decreases in value, we're not going to make them pay more than fair market value for the property now. So that was why we said the lesser of the two.
Right. Any further thoughts on this proposed amendment? It hasn't been offered. It's just for discussion purposes. Do you have any advice, any counsel for us, Mike, on this?
Kill me for this one.
This is another one of those amendments that was just brought to me minutes ago, and I haven't had a chance to digest it myself.
Yeah, for the record, it's Mike Krieber again. Yeah, DOT handed that to me, and we've been talking since the last meeting, but just handed it to me immediately before the meeting, so wasn't able to distribute that ahead of time. The department brought up an interesting issue about whether the property may decrease in value. So perhaps the committee may want to consider adding in language of the current bill where it would be either the price that the entity acquired it for or the lesser of what they acquired it for or the fair market value in case it does decrease in value instead of being tied to the original price. That's about the only comment I would have. Based on the comments that were made in the Community Regional Affairs Committee, of which a lot of those comments have been echoed here, that there seemed to be a great concern by the members of that committee that the property owners have been harmed and that they deserve to get it back at what they had it, because, you know, they should enjoy the full appreciation of it.
Well, Representative Wilson and Scalzi.
No, I agree with Representative Kukesh. I'm not in support of the amendment.
Wilson.
I think what I have a question on is really going back to the bill, so just deal with the amendment.
Okay. Well, due to apparent lack of support for this concept, I will just not offer it as amendment number two. However, you know, we can certainly think about this, and if we decide between now and assuming it's heard on the House floor, we can offer an amendment at that time and have a debate among our colleagues and decide if it's prudent to add that language in. Does that sound like a reasonable approach? Okay. And did you care to speak to the legislation then, Representative Wilson?
Well, I want just to explain to me once again. So what we're saying, any property that the state has acquired, if they don't use it 20 years, they have to give it back. But people have a chance to buy it. I'm not sure. Where's the 20 years here?
Only get it right of first refusal.
People who sold it or that had it taken from them
can buy it back.
They're the first ones to have the option to buy it.
I know, but I mean, if we're not using it, we have to do something. The state. Mm-hmm. If we haven't used it in 20 years, we have to get rid of it. Is that what this bill is saying?
It provides the through the chair, Representative Wilson. It would provide the ability of the property owner to the original property owner to require DOT or Alaska Housing or whoever to release that land back to them. Yes, if it has not been used, it would allow them a legal recourse to do that. We're not saying that the DOT or whoever has to actively promote selling that land at that time.
We're just saying if somebody wants it, they can get it back.
Right, at that time. Or if DOT does determine to put it on the market, that person has a first right of refusal. And anyone else who they would sell it to would be paying the market value at that time.
And the state can benefit from a higher amount if they'd like.
Right.
But just to the original heirs or successors of the original.
Right, person. Exactly.
So the state's not actually going to be losing any money except 2.5% or whatever.
Mr. Chairman, I think we heard testimony from DOT and the railroad the other day. We don't really see this happening too often.
Well, unless there's any further questions or concerns, I certainly would entertain a motion to move this legislation out of committee. Is there one? What's the rule?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move out CS for House Bill 500, CRA as amended in Transportation Committee, and attach fiscal notes and ask unanimous consent.
And this is version J, right, Mike?
Version J.
Zero fiscal note as well.
Yeah.
There is a motion to move this legislation out of committee with zero fiscal notes and accompanying individual recommendations as amended. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the legislation is moved. And with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much for your time, everybody.